Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday, what a day. Ruben all week with you.
Oh, man. That brings back some memories, doesn't it? Oh, that song. It's a special place, I think, in the hearts of Wisconsinites. At least those who watched the 1970s hit Happy Days. It was set in Milwaukee. Larry Mieler, thanks for joining us today. And with us next is the author of a fun new cookbook based on that series. It's called Happy Days, the official cookbook. From A to Zucchini Bread, written by our guest, Christina Ward. She's an editor, author, a number of other books. She also makes regular guest expert appearances on Fox 6 Newsreel Milwaukee television program and on public radio stations across the state. Do you remember the Happy Days show fondly? What's your favorite comfort food? Join us with your questions and comments, experiences. Number to call, 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Christina Ward, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to speak with you always.
I tell you what, it's hard for me to believe that Happy Days debuted 50 years ago. I suppose, was that is that what gave you the idea to do this cookbook?
So a little reverse on that. Yes, the 50th anniversary, and so many of us as a Wisconsinite have a relationship of some sort with the show. And so the publisher, Inside Editions, working with Paramount, who owns the Happy Days show, or they own CBS, they approached me and asked if I'd be interested in working with them to develop a cookbook around Happy Days. And I enthusiastically said yes, because I didn't want some New Yorker or some Los Angeles-based writer who wasn't going to get Wisconsin and wasn't going to understand Milwaukee to do this project. So it's a little outside my wheelhouse. It was great fun and a great challenge, and I'm excited for people to read it, and especially for the Wisconsinites, to see if they can clock some of the very specific Wisconsin references.
Yeah, there are many of those for sure. When did you first start watching Happy Days?
As a kid growing up in the 70s, I remember it as part of kind of the, I think, was it a Tuesday night? Or, you know, as part of the regular kind of TV watching you did as a family. And I think we don't really have that when it was just three channels and, you know, everybody had to argue about what you were going to watch. And so some of these sitcoms, and especially the family-oriented ones at the time, really were about a family viewing experience. And I remember it that way.
Yeah, the show, I guess because it was kind of a family experience, maybe that was the appeal to so many people.
I think so, and it also harkened back to that 70s and nostalgia for the 50s as generated by things like American Graffiti, even though like the first proto-pilot episode was on Love American Style as a skit. So I think of the time period, there was a little bit of this hankering for the old days, and it made for really fun TV show because of that time period. One thing in doing the research means rewatching nearly every episode of Happy Days is that there's two levels of humor. There are jokes for like the younger crowd, but then there's also some sneaky kind of double entendre kind of jokes for adults that I didn't catch the first time. But when I rewatched it, I was like, oh, that's what that means.
Well, you've got a really fun book. It's kind of filled with history about the show and a recipe based on a specific episode many times.
Yeah, that was part of the fun research, is picking out some of the food themes, because there are episodes that very much mention specific foods, as well as just the general, over the arc of the like decade-long life of the show, is if you think about watching it, so many of the framing scenes began either at the Cunninghams' breakfast table or at the dinner table at night. And of course, so many of the scenes happened at Arnold's, the diner.
Which is It was the kind of Arnold's Diner, you know, the kind of place that I think everybody wanted to go to.
It's so cool, right? You had the coolest cool guy, Fonzie, hanging out there. And then you had the kind of wannabe, they were jocks, they were musicians. They were still just a bit of on the outside with Richie and Potsy and Ralph. And you could start to build a whole world around what was initially their high school experiences and then their college experiences. And then you get to see the growth of the characters that you come to know over time. And if anybody remembers watching early days from the first season, Fonzie wasn't allowed to wear a leather coat on TV. But now can we even think of the Fonz without his signature leather coat? I mean, right, we're in Milwaukee. So the bronze Fonz immortalized forever on the banks of the Milwaukee River.
I had a leather jacket that was very close to what the Fonz had. And I thought that was so cool.
They made copies of it for boys. So if you were late 70s or 80s, you could definitely be the coolest kid on the block by having a Fonzie kind of jacket.
So how'd you select, what was the process like for selecting the recipes? And we will get to the recipes here, but what was the process like for selecting them?
Well, once, you know, I decided to take on the project and started reviewing old shows, I could see some of the themes. So I definitely wanted recipes that were Arnold's. I got a screenshot from the YouTube to watching a video of what the actual Arnold's menu was. And so I definitely knew I had to recreate that. So that was a part of the inspiration. And then specific recipes from the show. And then also understanding this is about that nostalgia, the comfort food, as viewed through 50s and 60s, and as well as the 70s. And so I wanted, those are the framing devices I gave myself. And then also some rules about this was not going to be something where you needed to travel to, you know, exotic Kathmandu to pick up that single ingredient. This was going to be a cookbook for folks who, out of your pantry, you know, maybe if you made your shopping list, you'd pick up a couple extra special things, but nothing that was going to be outside the scope and ability of your average home cook.
Yeah, I love that part of it. I took a careful look at the recipes as I was going through them, and I was saying, oh, I've got that, I've got that, I've got that, I've got pretty much everything.
Yeah, and that was one of my goals. I did, you know, update and modernize things. For example, when you think about a lot of diner food, and that's deep fried French fries and onion rings. But I worked out in doing my research and doing some development is how to do those in an air fryer. So very modern of today, and so many folks have air fryers. So versus you don't have to get out the fry daddy, you can just get out the air fryer.
And you got and you did the recipe testing, I'm expecting yourself.
I did it. That's part of I like doing my own development and testing. The only caveat, the asterisk I'll put on that is I can't eat meat. And so I usually recruit a couple friends to help taste the meat-based recipes.
Well, you know what else the book did for me as I was going through it? Not only thinking about happy days, but bringing back a lot of memories from my own childhood and growing up with my, basically my mother's cooking. And I got so many interesting recollections that I hadn't thought about in a long time. And that was a real pleasure for me in going through your book.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad that you had the kind of good feelings about it. Because that way, again, one of the goals was to, again, bring people into that kind of happy days world again and to their own families and to do more than just give a set of recipes. So I'm so glad. That's one of the kind of minor intentions, and I'm glad it worked. And that's the goal of, I think, any really good cookbook. And that's, I'm not saying mine's great, but any good cookbook should bring you back to bring you to a place there where you would like to spend time.
And I certainly did. And maybe just a quick run through as to sort of how the book is laid out.
Sure. We tried to follow kind of standard practice of an all-encompassing cookbook. That means there's breakfast recipes, lunch, snacks, dinners, and desserts, with a couple of extra fancy ones. Remember, if you went to homecoming or prom or it was an anniversary and everybody went to Chez Antoine's for their fancy dinner. So it gave me a great opportunity to include a couple, you know, fancy recipes as well. Again, a general cookbook that's going to cover all tastes with vegan and vegetarian options, as well as you know, very traditional comfort foods from that period of kind of 50s, 60s, 70s. And so that was the organization, to have a really balanced cookbook that you could mix and match and incorporate all of the recipes into different meals.
And you know what I also liked, you've got tons of photos from the show, and then, of course, some great photos of the food itself. And I thought, man, getting permission maybe would have been a difficulty, but from the way you describe how it came together, probably wasn't a problem.
And no, it wasn't. And that made it such a joy to work with Inside Editions and with Paramount to develop this cookbook, is because this was a joint project. And so the Paramount folks gave nearly carte blanche onto whatever images that all the book design folks wanted to use. And the Insight team did a great job of the photography of the food. So I'm just so pleased at Punch, because I'm a terrible photographer. And that was one of the things. I was like, are you going to make me photograph things? Please don't.
Food photography is an art in and of itself, and it's been captured well in your book. Christina Ward, our guest today, she's the author of Happy Days, the official cookbook. And you can join in. I can give them the number, but here it is. It's 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address ideas@WPR.org. We'll take a quick look at the news, find out what else is in store for us here on WPR, and then we'll be back. I'm Larry Mueller. Ah, the 1970s sitcom Happy Days, 50 years old this year. And to celebrate, we're talking about a new cookbook that features food that would fit right into the show. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest is Christina Ward, author of Happy Days, the official cookbook. She's an editor and author of a number of other books. She's also making regular guest expert appearances on Fox 6 News Real Milwaukee television program, and of course on public radio stations across the country. So are you a Happy Days fan? What questions do you have about writing a cookbook, perhaps? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. And of course, we would love to hear from you. You have several, I forget how many now, trivia questions sprinkled through the book. And I was I had a lot of fun with those, because I'd read the question and then I'd go to the back of the book to find out what the answer was. And I have to admit, I was not any good at all at getting them. I'm sure others were a whole lot better than I would be at that. Did you wrote those all yourself?
I did. A lot of the trivia was a product out of all the research I had done on the show. And I proposed adding trivia questions as just another element that we can add to the book. And it's also, if anybody's really in a cook in a kitchen, you've got the downtime, right? Of you're waiting that 10 minutes, you're waiting that 15 minutes until you can take the next step. And it's a personal thing for cookbooks is, you know, it's nice to have something to read in the cookbook while you're waiting for the next step to come along. And so I'm like, trivia, everybody loves to rack their brains a little bit, and also with the deep dive question of just that miracle of like, I remember this. I remember this tidbit from 47 years ago.
Well, let's look at some of the recipes. One that came to my mind right away was the Hawaiian Luau Club Sandwich with a secret sandwich spread. And what struck me on that one was Spam.
Yes.
I hadn't had Spam in I don't know how long, and I'm going to make this darn sandwich because I also like the secret sauce that goes with it. But and that came up, this sandwich was part of one of the shows.
It was mentioned in the Luau episode in season two. So, look, I didn't check my notes. That was off the top of my head. Anybody wants to invite me to Happy Days Trivia, I think I could probably do really well, at least for the next 6 months. That's part of the fun part of doing recipe development and thinking about what would that luau sandwich look like? What would it be? How can you make this like new and interesting and still reflect the show? And of course, luau, Hawaiian, and spam. Spam is such a big part of Hawaiian food culture that it was so much fun to try to figure out a way to make that fun, delicious, and still part of the show.
Well, it brought me back to occasionally we would have spam sandwiches when I was a kid and, kind of heat the spam up a little bit. But here, this has got pineapple, this is lettuce, there's bacon in there, and the secret sauce, which is kind of mayo and chili.
Yeah, it's a very simple secret sauce.
Well, that's what I liked about it.
What it does is it just adds a little bit of texture and the flavor and a kind of a glue, if you will, to help kind of keep it all together. If we think about like smooth condiments like a mayo or a chili, it really does help kind of keep all the bits together, especially when you're making a big sandwich with a lot of layers. Having a little bit of a sauce of some type, really, that's just more of a cooking thing. It keeps the construction going. And this is not a health food. I mean, per se, so, so this is a special treat.
that's for sure. Well, one that Clara pointed out to me was Howard's Leopard Lodge potato salad, German versus American. And I love German potato salad. And I took a look at that recipe and I thought, heck, this is one I can make with almost blindfolded.
Oh, good. I mean, that's sometimes the idea with these very old-fashioned, these family recipes that we have like fond memories of, the variations, is we do know essentially what's in them, but we're not always sure what the ratios are. So having a recipe like that is very traditional, but also very Wisconsin, because that was one of the things when some of the editors, the California-based editors, were like, German potato? What? Why? I'm like, oh, no, no. Oh, no, you must have that. If this is going to accurately reflect, then we need to have potato salad both styles, both American and the German. If everybody remembers too, is more of a vinegar based and it has bacon in it. And so again, a little different than your standard potato salad.
What's the story behind the grilled cheese and peanuts?
Isn't that funny? That is directly taken from the Arnold's menu. And when I research that, when you look at what the menu is, and I'm looking at the book right now, I'm looking at that to see if they were able to include a sign. I was like, if you guys can include the sign, that would be fantastic. And because everybody, if you think about the show, everybody's sitting there in the background, over the top of the doorway, looking back into Arnold's, was that menu sign that listed everything that they were serving. So it's, again, a fun way. And for whatever reason, I was never able to figure out exactly why it was with peanuts, but it was. Maybe there's a Super Happy Days researcher, or maybe Tom Miller, the creator of the show, can call in and let us know why peanuts.
Kate wanted to know in an email, have you had a reaction, maybe perhaps not, but wondering if you'd had a reaction from any of the stars of the show?
Not yet. I hope so. We all love Fonzie as a character. And then as time passes and the actor Henry Winkler was able to grow and separate himself from the character. And then we discover that Henry Winkler is this kind, brilliant actor and writer and fantastic human. And so I guess if I had a dream, Henry, please call. I want to give you a copy of the book.
Oh, man. You can join in, too. Quiet Crowd today. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. Actually, the apple, what was it called? The apple snack cake. There's another one. I like apple cake. And here's a recipe that I think I have everything right now in my cupboard or in my refrigerator.
Oh, that's great. Then you keep a nicely stocked pantry and fridge, Larry. That's good.
I do.
Well, this is the notion, too, is so many of the times, if we're thinking back, this particular cake was inspired by my my husband's grandma, who lived with them in this very idyllic kind of Happy Days kind of house and life. And she was the wonderful chief cook and house cleaner for their family, and lovingly so, and was notorious for always baking little, like, snack cakes, little simple sweets for after school. And so this definitely inspired by Mary Wanda Colling, and kind of an homage to her cooking of that style, and something that's simple, easy, and can be whipped together in under 15 minutes.
That's going to be made this weekend in the Mueller household.
Oh, fantastic.
I've got everything, and so I'm going to go ahead and do it. And, you know, I had a lime tree, Limey, and Limey, named by my daughter, young daughter, at the time. She was pretty young when she named the lime tree. And I would get upwards of 30 or so, 35 limes on that tree, on Limey. And so I thought about Limey a lot when I saw Arnold's Cherry Limeade. I thought, oh, man, does that sound good.
Again, another simple and from the Arnold's menu. This is, you know, something that was referenced in an early episode to have this custom cherry limeade, because Paula Petrolunga, who was very much kind of one of Fonzie's early love interests. and so I think that's wonderfully, it's a refreshing drink that I think sometimes we forget about. And so Wisconsin, if we think about cherry season's coming up, and limes, unless you have your own private supply, as Larry does, fairly easy to get, and it's a really delightful, refreshing drink, and again, easy to make.
Yeah, it is indeed. Jill in Racine, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, so many things come to mind. Cherry Coke, that wasn't what I was going to mention, but grilled cheese, grilled jelly, oh, cherry Coke. Oh, I had cereal with sliced bananas, no fast food.
Yeah?
And I grew up in the 50s. I was born in 49, so I was little then, but I loved to dance, even when I was little.
And you would, I'll tell you what, that theme music for Happy Days is kind of, you're going to at least be bopping around, jumping up and down a little bit, if not dancing to that. Who, do you know who wrote that song?
Oh, you just stumped me on the trivia. I don't know. Oh, maybe someone can call in and remind us who that was. Because I know in the first season, they actually used Bill Haley's Rock Around the Clock. And the show then became more popular. It was they didn't predict it was going to be as popular as it was, and then realized that they should commission its own theme song. But again, that's a good question. I don't know who wrote the song.
Jeff just told me that Pratton McLean.
Okay, I was not going to bring that out of the recesses of my memory.
Wrote that, and Pratt McLean, if he had any of the rights on it, he probably put one of his kids through college.
Let's hope.
let's hope for sure. Well, okay, let's move her on to another one that Clara liked a lot was the spiked orange eggnog. What is in that one? And I didn't look at that one myself. I'm just going on what Clara liked.
Well, in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, we do love our eggnogs and Tom and Jerry's, which is, you know, a little variation of it. And so I really wanted to include this kind of recipe, again, reflective of our personal culture here in Milwaukee and Wisconsin, and for the holidays. And so the difference here is that it's using orange juice, because orange and cream and the nutmeg and then those spices go really well together. And it has that kind of vanilla, orangey, spicy feel that I think is extra warming, extra delicious. And citrus does a really good job of kind of cutting a little bit how rich an eggnog can be. So it feels a little bit lighter.
it feels a little bit later. Okay, well, there we go. And another one that I had, which brought back so many memories of lutefisk dinners. When I was a kid, we would go to, there were some lutefisk dinners, and I did not like lutefisk at all. But every single lutefisk church dinner that I ever went to, they always had Swedish meatballs.
Yeah.
And that was the extra. If you didn't want to eat the lutefisk, you could have Swedish meatballs, and I would load up on those. And you've got a nice recipe. Tell us about that one. Where did that come from?
Well, again, these are some inspired by the character nods,
sure,
the things they mentioned, as well as, again, our regional cuisine. If you were going to be kind of middle class fancy, that was Swedish meatballs were a party staple. And without any irony, they're delicious. They're really good. And that's why I tried to, like, get rid of any of that kind of ironic twist. This is a genuine having fun kind of cookbook. And so that inspiration comes from, again, what folks would actually serve at family holidays or, as you mentioned, just kind of community, church, union hall gatherings. And the one thing that I liked about in developing this recipe, again, inspired a little bit from my grandmother-in-law's cookbook. So Mary Wanda was also a great recipe collector. And that was, for me as a food historian and doing recipe development, that was a great resource. So I was able to go back to some of her very old recipes from the 40s and 50s and review, analyze, update, tweak them a little bit, and bring them back to the future for today.
How did you get so... I saw a little note in the back of your book about how you got interested in cooking, and some of it had to do with the fact that your mom wasn't such a great cook.
She was terrible. it was not good. The one very kind of, again, sort of mid-century-ish, and people will either sympathize or they'll have a flashback, is there was something called glorified hamburgers, which we kids named gorified hamburgers, which was essentially a smear of, like, ground beef with a pat of butter, salt and pepper on half, just raw hamburger, on half the bun, and then you stick it in the broiler, which guaranteed that the edges would be black and the middle would be raw. And, you know, these are the kinds of meals that my mom made. And it was just not good. And I understand, I'm fully sympathetic. I know there's folks out there who say, I can't cook. And so I keep that in mind when I'm writing and doing recipe development and try to keep the instructions really clear and the ingredients simple. So someone who thinks they can't cook can actually make something without it becoming gorified.
Well, and you're right about the recipes. They're pretty straightforward. And your directions for what to do along with, what goes into the recipe are great as far as I'm concerned. You know, I had to smile when I saw the pizza bowl, sheet pan pizza. When I was a kid, I didn't know anything about round pizzas. Because my mom, and she made these great pizzas, and they were all made in a sheet pan.
Right.
Quarter size, I think it was, sheet pan. And they were delicious.
And that was, again, of that time period and very regional, that we are the home of, like, rectangle pizzas. And that goes back to, I didn't want some, you know, California or New York writer to do that because they don't have that experience, Larry, like you and I do. And like so many of us had. And we know that, oh, yes, of course the pizza bowl was going to serve a rectangle pizza. And again, to do it at home, so many of us grew up with that sheet pan pizza of just it's simple and it's still delicious. And I find it really funny is that it's getting marketed today by some of, like, the fast food or the chain pizza places as Detroit pizza. When I see that, I'm like, oh, no, that's just sheet pan pizza. We've been doing that for a long time.
And that's another one I'm going to make just in honor of my mother's pizza because those were, I love those. But boy, it was really a treat when she'd make the pizza.
And it was a treat. And it's so funny. Sometimes I think that we get away from that with the convenience we have with food access today. And of course, then with delivery and so many restaurants, which, again, I'm not knocking them. They're great. But there's something to be said about just making dinner And it doesn't have to be a four-hour, four-course meal, but just spending 30 to 40 minutes in the kitchen. Maybe you've got one of the kids, if you've got kids or grandkids, as a helper, doing all the cleaning and the chopping, and making that dinner together, and then spending time together and eating dinner together. I think that that's one of the quintessential American family events that we can all replicate, that we can all just eat a meal together.
I've got a daughter coming home in a month or so from college, and I've already noted that that's something that she and I will make together.
Oh, that's lovely. I can't wait to hear how it goes.
I'm telling you, I'm really looking forward to that happening, and it will happen. Blueberry shortcake. You know, I always think about strawberry shortcake, but blueberry shortcake intrigued me.
Yeah, a fun variation. I think that's something that it comes again from my food history background, is that in the 1800s, when folks developed shortcakes, it was very much a sweet biscuit and whatever the seasonal fruit was. And so using that, it was fun to tie it back to the show as Joni's favorite. Joni loved blueberry things, and so did Richie. And so, of course, right, if you think about that, the Cunninghams would use a blueberry shortcake. And it's just fun as a preference. And also, it hopefully makes people think a little beyond, and that you could make a peach shortcake, strawberry, cherry, raspberry, blueberry. But, of course, we wanted to highlight the blueberries in this particular book.
And just back to the pizza a minute, because I think that you gave a nod to Laverne and Shirley, which was a spinoff of Happy Days.
It was a spinoff. And I like to think, and though the research isn't officially in, is in my mind, the Pizza Bowl was definitely the Polish Falcon in the River West neighborhood of Milwaukee. And so thinking about that and how that would be, and so that's the few recipes to include as a nod. And that was part of the fun of doing the research, is some of the minor characters and some of the themes that develop. So, of course, there's something to honor Mork and Mindy, which was another spinoff.
Yeah.
From Laverne, Laverne and Shirley, and a few of the other shows. And there's even the penultimate Mork and Mindy spinoff episode, which is when Robin Williams shows up with Fonzie and Laverne. Because Mork is trying to analyze human dating practices. And so Fonzie is his observed object, which I'm not sure if Fonzie's luck with ladies was indicative of everyone else's.
Well, you know, and that one, I can't bring that up out of my brain, but that would be fun to go back and look at.
And that is part of the fun, is that this with streaming now, conversely, when we only had three channels and to watch these originally, with the streaming channels, is people can go back and you can watch these on demand. You can watch either start to finish, or you can just find a favorite episode and rewatch it. And then make it a little bit of a fun party trick is, does that hold up? Is that as funny as I remember it? Sometimes things are funnier now. And then sometimes the jokes don't always carry over.
Well, you have written a great book. It's brought back so many memories. And you've given me a number of recipes to try. And I thank you so much, Christina, for putting it together and for being with us today. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for the kind words. And thanks for everyone's calls.
Christina Ward, our guest today. Her book, Happy Days, the official cookbook. Take a look at it. I think you'll get as big a kick out of it as I did. I'm hoping, anyway. I think you will. Well, tomorrow, PJ Leish returns to talk about the big year ahead for cicadas and answer your other questions. In the meantime, thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on WPR. I'm Larry Mueller. These happy days are yours and mine.